T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Bo Matthews and Amy Marks, of course. Hold on, Carol. Don't leave yet. Don't leave yet.
You just caught me.
We're talking about retail therapy.
Ooh, right up my alley.
See, I heard a rumor about you.
And I wanted to know, was it a reliable source like Dave Klein or an unreliable source like my husband?
No, neither one of them. Okay. I can't say which one for sure.
How about old Fred Bottenheimer over there, ladies and gentlemen?
That would not be a reliable. He doesn't know anything about my retail therapy.
He just saw receipts hanging out of your purse as you walked in. Do you like to shop?
Not as much as I used to.
Okay.
But I do still like to shop because I like to give.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, yeah. A little tear in my eye.
I'm so super sweet. Selfish. But, Carol, do you engage in retail therapy?
Absolutely.
Yes, I do too. I need that rush. Like, if I'm sad or going through a tough time, I am either shopping at the store or I'm on my phone. Shopping online, and
there are lots of other emotions, just not sad and happy. You know, there's anxious.
Yes.
Okay.
When my 19-year-old was younger, I identified boredom.
Really?
You know, you're bored. You want to, because there's also retail therapy. There's food therapy. People eat because they're sad or mad or whatever.
I'm in.
Right?
I'm in, yeah.
And
people
eat because they're bored.
Yep. They do.
Yeah.
Or procrastination.
Especially
being, you know, if you are a writer, the last thing you want to do is write. And so I will find anything to do except for write the story I have to write. And my goodness, my phone is right here and you get push notifications from your favorite stores
and
there's sales going on. I'll read those. I'll look at those pages and pages. And I almost feel like it's a job where it's like, you see 1,087 pages of pants. I feel like I need to look at...
You got
to
look at all of them.
I got to look at all the pants.
Yes.
So what could you say is the last time you had a moment where you said, I'm not going into work yet. I'm not going to go home yet. I'm just going to go shop just to get my steps in and go shopping.
First of all, some of those words I don't say. I don't say I'm going to get my steps in and go shop. That's not a part of my thought process.
Okay.
Nor do I say I'm not going to go to work. I'm going to go shop. That's not a part of the process.
Your devotion is here. I understand.
Well, I have a mortgage.
Okay. Right.
And I have to pay for said retail therapy. So.
But here's the thing. I have a budget. But when I walk through the golden doors of my favorite retail stores, Anthropologie and Free People, when I walk through those doors, the budget doesn't exist anymore. It literally evaporates and I forget where I'm at.
I've trained my children, please go to the clearance rack first.
I always go to the sale rack first.
Going to the sale rack first.
Yes.
And that feels good. That feels like you're winning.
You're saving so much money going to the sale rack.
And so my husband would say, but you still spent the money. So you're not really, if you hadn't spent it, then you're saving.
But getting
something that was $75 for now $30, you still spent $30. But for us, I feel like it was a deal.
Yeah, you saved money for a necessity. And also, just think if you really were sad. Well, retail therapy makes me happy, but if I were to just indulge that sadness and I had to go to the doctor, that would be more expensive than the pair of pants that I'm buying.
Yeah, therapists are, you know, especially,
they're expensive.
I mean, they're,
counselors,
you know,
therapists?
$25, $30 an hour.
Oh, really?
I'm
expensive.
Spending much less.
I am saving so much money.
I'm saving on Zulily.
Tons of money. That's exactly right. And, you know, my mom has taught me many lessons. One is, she would tell us, all the sisters, okay, girls, now, when your dad gets home from work, that's probably not the time he wants to hear about all the things you bought. So I learned that. And I also learned that sometimes
that was code.
Yes.
Yeah. She was like, don't tell him everything we bought.
That's right.
That's what she really meant.
And also, it's okay to walk in with just one bag and you can get the rest of the bags later.
I love it that you said bags because recently you keep them in the trunk or whatever.
Right.
Recently, maybe not recently, but my husband said to me, because he's learned, we've been married 25 years. I love him. And he said to me, you know, I'm seeing a lot of bags come home. Is everything okay?
Oh, no.
I've learned to ask.
He took it as a signal.
Because it is a signal. Yeah. He said, I've learned to ask, is everything okay? And it wasn't. People who listen to KMYX know my mother has dementia. Mm. And, you know, it's sad. It's very, very sad. And so, I'm going through thinking about that. And he was like, is everything okay? And I'm like, no, it's not.
I'm just thinking about that's a good man.
But that's 25 years of marriage
he know this too? My dad knows you can ask, is that new? And my mom will say, oh no.
Yeah, and he doesn't ask anymore. He knows.
Have you worn it before?
He knows.
That's the key.
Yeah, my husband now knows that it's that's a coded, loaded question, I should say. Because we will say, no, it's not new, because we bought it and hid it.
Yeah.
For 3 weeks.
Right.
So to us,
of course
it's not new.
No, no. If you brought it in the house today, then it's new, but it's not.
No, so, once I wear it.
So we agree that shopping could be therapeutic.
But watch yourself. Watch yourself. I mean, I have a little yellow sticky in my closet that says, why are you feeling what you feel?
Mm. Wow.
And so ask God. Wow. Why are you feeling what you feel? Ask God. And so to just take note of what you're feeling. If I'm sad, rather than go shopping, I got to stop and ask, why am I sad?
Right.
Now,
right.
I may still go shopping.
Right.
But at least I'm going to have a moment with God. Right. I'm going to talk, God, what's going on?
So can you get the therapy, the therapeutic feeling from online shopping? What do you say?
Oh, good heavens. Oh, my God.
Yeah. It just makes it so easy, doesn't it?
This is the sound of me.
It's like Uber Eats. I don't even have to get up to make food. Just deliver it.
Dave Klein, say it out loud so they can hear you.
Zulily?
Yeah.
Yep. That is... one of Carol's favorite places.
Mm-hmm.
Zulily?
Mm-hmm. Zulily is an online marketplace. Okay. It's just fascinating.
And people say, money, possessions can't make you happy. There are a few things in this world that have made me as happy as clothes. I love clothes.
Now, my husband...
I feel so happy. I put on the clothes, a coat or a new pair of pants. I mean, I'm smiling. Look at this
glimmer
in my eye.
Have you seen that coat that I bought? It looks like a quilt.
Oh, I don't know. I don't think I've seen it.
Next time I wear it, I'll have to point it out to you that I bought that at the end of the season last year. Yeah. It was $50. Yes. That is like a $250 coat.
You saved so
much money.
You spent how much money?
$50. And every time I wear it, I feel so...
Yeah.
Because I blessed myself, mm-hmm. I didn't resist...
Right. The pants, the coat. Oh, my gosh. Like, I smile. When I'm sad, I just, look at my closet, and I just feel so good. I think... clothes do bring happiness.
They do, but I have, because I've had many tense moments in my marriage over my shopping.
Mm. So do you have a different feeling for, like, when you're Christmas shopping for others? You did say you like to give.
I do.
Is it a different feeling when you're out there, a different emotion?
It is, because I adore the faces.
Yeah, shock.
They open it up, and, you've gotten just the right thing. And they know that you were thinking of them, and they said something 6 months ago, and I remembered that, and I love that.
Technically, that's not the shopping part; that's the giving part.
That is the giving
for the item.
And here's the problem: I love to buy gifts for people, but I have a little bit of trepidation whenever I shop, because my older sister Emily, here I am, I'll find something like a sweater that my mom will like, and my sister will be like, here, Mom, after I give the sweater, and the sweater is great, my sister will go, up here, Mom, 20 years ago, I planted this tree, and then I cut off a branch, and I carved the wood, and I made this frame.
She should go first.
Yeah, she needs to go first. I mean, I can't follow her. I just know every year I'm going to lose to Emily, because she's nice.
It shouldn't be a battle.
I know.
One year, my father bought me a purse, and he bought all of the girls, his daughter-in-laws as well.
Did you love
my
him?
Sister... we have three older brothers, and I opened it up and I let out this scream, I couldn't believe that my father had bought this Michael Kors purse. I couldn't believe it. The minute that I let out this yelp, my husband was sitting right next to me, and I thought, oh my gosh. And days later, he goes, see, that's the reaction I'm going for, but I rarely get. But last year he bought a purse for me, and I almost cried. It was just this most beautiful thing. I'll show that to you, Amy, too, and I'll bring it in tomorrow.
I can't wait.
They did good.
Yeah, they did good.
Thank you, Carol, for joining us on this segment. But the data shows that holiday shopping is stressful, so shop more to get rid of the stress. Is that what you're saying?
It's stressful for my husband because he doesn't like it at all.
Yeah. You have to balance it by buying things for yourself.
Absolutely.
Yep. Okay.
Miss any part of the Mark Reardon Show? Download the podcast anytime.
Initiating download. Stand by.
At KMOX.com/Reardon.
Bo Matthews, Amy Mark Scores, filling in for Mark Reardon. And we would like to welcome in live from the baseball winter meetings in San Diego, Chris Raby and Mike Claiborne. How are things in California, guys?
Good. What's going on back in St. Louis? How are you guys?
It is a beautiful sunny day. You're missing it. Just kidding.
Hey, we'll live with that and we'll soldier on.
I bet you will. You'll tough through it.
Yeah.
Somebody has to, as we say.
Hey, speaking of having to tough out some things, Gerrit Cole is going to have to watch his budget now after signing a 9-year, $324 million contract with the cash-strapped Yankees. What are the implications of this signing, moving forward, and what effect will it have on other free agents?
Well, I don't know if it's going to have a great effect. I think when you're the top guy out there, most people will say, we'll take out the best deal and the worst deal, and we'll work from there. Everybody knew he was going to get a lot of money. And that's something that I think we've all become accustomed to now in baseball. Somebody's going to hit that sort of home run. You'll have some people that will wonder about it because of the fact that he came from Houston, and Houston's been implicated in some shady dealings as far as things that aren't what we call professional. And I think people will be anxious to see if he can carry that over. He's never been hurt. That's a good sign. He's a really good pitcher. And I know, Chris, I'll go back to the days when they thought paying Ozzie Smith $3 million a year was too much money. There's always going to be a guy like that.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing, guys, is that we've seen now the two highest contracts for pitchers in baseball history coming within a couple of days of each other. Mm-hmm. Steven Strasburg's $245 million contract, which then was eclipsed by Gerrit Cole's $324 million contract. And after a couple of off seasons of the market really moving slowly, I think fans being frustrated and maybe teams and agents and players in some cases playing games of chicken that lasted not just into spring training but into the months of May and June, I think it shows that baseball's in a great spot. I'm not saying that anyone should maybe advocate for this kind of spending, and certainly the Yankees probably won't be getting $36 million worth of value in years 8 and 9 of this contract, but Clibs, I think it shows the game's in a great spot. TV revenues are at an all-time high. Interest in the game's at an all-time high. The level of competition, I think, is at an all-time high. And, you know, if you're a fan of the Yankees this morning, you're thrilled that you have Gerrit Cole, and you're probably now the prohibitive World Series favorites.
I think it certainly puts them in a good position. I think we have more teams that feel like they can compete now than they have in
which
the last
is another
four or five
great
years.
Sign.
Yeah,
more teams trying to compete.
Exactly. So I think you won't see as many fire sales of teams giving away players at the beginning. I think a lot of teams feel like they can compete now, and I think that's good for the game.
But this is like Powerball money, guys. I mean, this is huge money.
But that's the kind of money that this game has.
I'll give you a good example.
Cardinals have a $1 billion TV contract.
Here's the deal. If we think this is something, mm-hmm. and Gerrit Cole's making $36 million, think about the NBA where Steph Curry's making over $40 million. They have guys that are making $40 million for half the games.
And it's not a story like it is with Gerrit Cole.
Yeah, you're right. The world of sports as we know it in the four major sports is alive and well health-wise, financially. There'll be some teams that don't make as much as the other guy, but those who have it are willing to spend it.
Okay, before we get off the Gerrit Cole topic, does this mean Madison Bumgarner has a Cheshire Cat grin on his face because he's pretty much guaranteed over $100 million now?
I would say so. I don't know who's going to pay it to him. There are some things that probably would prevent me from doing it if I owned a team. But, yeah, he's the next guy in line. I think Rendon, Donaldson, but Bumgarner would be the next prize pitcher on the board.
All right. I did have a question that was going around in the news the other day. Nike, the Nike swoosh is going to be on every Major League Baseball uniform on the front. Yeah. going around. You guys might have heard something out there. Maybe it's more of the fans that are offended by it for, you know, some of the political narrative that has come along with that brand. What are you guys hearing or anything out there?
You know what? I think we're in the who cares business because baseball was the last sport that doesn't have some sort of logo on its jersey. You look at the NHL, the NBA, and certainly the NFL, they all have some sort of logo of a brand on it. The baseball was the last one, and I think when the money that comes with it, it doesn't make a difference right now.
Yeah, the players don't care because the jerseys are actually still being manufactured by the same company that's been making them. So they'll be the exact same jerseys they've been wearing. They'll just have the Nike insignia. And, you know, somebody told me yesterday that is – in the industry and is a part of this, they said Nike, they don't even really care about jerseys. They're not trying to sell baseball jerseys. They just want the Nike swoosh out there. Similar to, you know, in golf, they're getting out of the golf club business. They just want that Nike swoosh on Tiger Woods' shirt and, you know, Brooks Koepka's shirt so that you see the swoosh and you go out and you buy Nike gear. And, you know, a deal with Under Armour fell through. Nike stepped up to the plate. And again, another thing that's, I guess, great for the game, great for baseball, and great for the players because they're getting a cut of that as well through the collective bargaining agreement.
Oh, wow. That's nice.
What are your thoughts on the idea of removing marijuana from the banned substance list in minor league baseball?
Probably should be. I mean, if you're on a 40-man roster.
Well, you said that quick.
Well, and here's why I say that, Cliffs. Here's why I say that. Because right now, the players in the minor leagues have a different collective bargaining agreement. Even aside from the financial ramifications of it, they have a different drug testing policy. And, you know, as you just asked, Damian, if people aren't familiar, right now marijuana is not a substance that is tested for in Major League Baseball drug tests. And there are ways around it. If guys in the minors that are prized prospects get popped for marijuana, they can be just put on a 40-man roster and then avoid any sort of penalty or suspension. We saw Alex Reyes with the Cardinals get popped for it a couple of years ago. The Cardinals had him serve out a suspension. So I just think the fact that there are easy ways around any sort of meaningful penalty probably means that the penalty in the first place is not set up with the best, I don't know, intentions or consequences. It just, it seems to me like if you can get around it that easily, maybe just, it should be looked at.
Yeah, it's been put on paper, but the punitive damage that comes with it.
Right, you can get around.
Yeah.
And so, because you guys reacted so quickly, does this mean you're driving back through Nevada and Colorado on your way back to St. Louis?
I mean, I was walking down Fifth Street.
All you have to do is walk down the street here, man. You'll get a contact pretty quick.
Yeah, you'll get contact, you'll get offers. Yeah, but, you know, we adhere to the minor league drug policy.
There you go.
Yeah, very, very strict, very strict.
Hey, just to preview what's coming up tonight on the countdown to opening day at 6 o'clock tonight on KMOX.
Oh, man, what a show we have set up.
Yeah, we're excited. It's our first show. We've got Mike Shannon, the voice of the Cardinals, kicking things off. We'll visit with Mike Schilt, the National League Manager of the Year, Ted Simmons, who's headed to the Hall of Fame, Joe Torre, Hall of Famer, former Cardinal, now part of Major League Baseball, also John Mozeliak, Mike Gersh, Derek Gould. It's going to be a great show, and excited to bring it to everyone. And again, a big thanks to Goodwill for sponsoring our coverage out here. Donate a car for 4 free field box tickets.
Thanks, guys. We look forward to hearing it tonight.
All right, and you guys
care.
Are
all right,
good
take
day.
Care.
Much prefer talking to you than Reardon. So
it's been such a delightful chat.
Keep him out for a while.
All right, we'll do what we can. Coming up next, we're going to talk adulting. Yes, the new noun that millennials use for acting like grown-ups. Now you can take a class on how to be a grown-up.
I didn't know where you were going with that.
We'll find out. Stay with us. Bo Matthews, Amy Mark Scores back with you. You know, I've heard the term adulting. I don't like it. It's hashtagged a lot on social media and Instagram whenever you have a millennial doing something grown-up, such as laundry or cooking or filing taxes. But it never struck me as an inappropriate word until Bo.
I'd never heard the word until this morning.
Suggested it might be bad.
Well, I didn't suggest anything. I just, when I heard adulting, ooh, what? it shocked me. There's certain words that, you know, sound inappropriate, but it's not. It's innocent. But I do think it's interesting that so many people don't know what adulting is.
Yes. Well, and the fact that they had to, they being millennials, this is my generation, and unfortunately I barely fall into the millennial category, the age group that never wants to grow up, the age group that wants to stay in college and be perpetual students, preferably on mom or dad's dollar, it has to adult every now and then. And again, literally, adulting means activities like doing laundry, cooking, filing taxes.
Here's the funny
thing. Going to the grocery store.
I have actually said this word before.
Really?
When we were doing taxes, I think I said to my wife, I hate adulting.
So the Los Angeles Times reports that more and more college students and post-grads are enrolling in actual adulting classes. Now, these classes vary in approach, but they offer instruction on adult things, how to hold down relationships, how to conduct relationships, how to hold down jobs, how to create and stick to a personal budget, how to build a resume and apply for jobs, how to navigate romantic relationships, just things that you would hope a competent person would be able to do, but now they actually have to take classes.
Can we just say what it is? Social media is truly anti-social media. I mean, it is. I mean, we call it social media, and look what it's done to a certain sect of people. Now, I will tell you this, that in high school, they did teach us how to fill out checks, mm-hmm. you know, like paper checks, and keep a check log in your book.
Home ec?
It was, yeah. Yeah, home economics. And the problem is you don't have to do that anymore if you trust what your app says your bank account reads. I don't understand, and I'm slowly making it to the digital payment world.
Yeah.
I mean, I do PayPal and stuff like that, but I'm a cash guy, and so it baffles me that people are just swiping here, just pay.
No concept.
Do they ever check to see if there's enough money in their bank?
Right. Smart technology makes for dumb people. It really does. We have become the poodles of human civilization. We are absolutely unfit to live in the wild. And by live in the wild, I mean without electric, without Amazon Prime.
Oh, I watch Naked and Afraid, and I have to have my comforts. I have to have air conditioning and heat. I have to have the comforts of home.
Do schools teach the Dewey Decimal System anymore?
Wow. Nah, I bet they don't.
Sounds
like a cartoon character.
He does, Mr. Dewey Decimal System. Mr. System. And, you know, there was a student that I taught last year, and he didn't know what a phone book was. He saw his first phone book when he was writing a research paper. This was a high school student, I should clarify.
Interesting, because I had lunch with a friend who's a business owner in town the other day, and he spends a lot of money with the Yellow Pages, and he brought that up, and I was like, really?
Do people still use the Yellow Pages?
Well, they don't, but because of the SEOs and the search engine optimization mm-hmm. of the company of the Yellow Pages, mm-hmm. it's very effective for him, because when people punch in, I need an electrician, boom, it shoots up with a Yellow Pages ad. So Yellow Pages has evolved to the digital world. I mean, the only phone book I have at home is just the little county one that comes.
Right.
I don't even know why I have it.
Yeah, I don't even get
probably
that.
To start my next
Nobody has
bonfire.
Landlines anymore. I mean, unless you're listing your cell phone in the White Pages, no point.
How do you find somebody's phone number if all you have is their name? I mean, I know that there's some apps or some websites you can punch in a name and, you know, you know what I mean?
Right. You have to narrow it down to state. Now there's services where you can pay to find that information. But speaking of modern services that you have to pay for, do you use Uber?
Never.
Lyft? None of the ride sharing
programs?
Never
done. I have not done it. And I have the study on the violence, the criminal report. Did you see this?
Yeah. The security criminal report came out for Uber, and they found that more than 3,000 people reported sexual assaults related to Uber rides in the U.S. last year. Now, this is just Uber. This is not including Lyft or anything else. So that's an average of 8 per day. The company also said that 9 people were murdered and 58 were killed last year in crashes related to the transportation app.
This is after 1.3 billion trips
right.
of Uber. But you know what? I dug in a little bit into that data, and this is not only clients of Uber attacking the driver, it's also the other way. It's equal to both. It's like 8 a day or something.
Wait a minute.
That.
You assumed that it was the clients attacking the driver?
I did.
I took it as the driver attacking the clients.
And it's actually about even if you look into that story. Yeah.
See, I would take that. I thought the vast majority where the driver's attacking the client. Because I've thought of this before. I have taken an Uber to the airport. In fact, I took a very early flight on the day of Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final to Boston.
Okay.
So I call an Uber. It's 4 a.m. It's dark. The Uber pulls up. I do match the license plate number, but I get in this car with this male driver, and I'm thinking, I don't know this guy.
Was this your first Uber ever?
It was not.
Oh, okay.
And the thing is, taking an Uber in New York City or Washington, D.C. is a totally different experience than taking an Uber in St. Louis or St. Louis County. And I got in this car. I'm like, I don't even know this guy.
Right.
Driving me to the airport at 4 a.m., and I'm thinking, well, I'll either make my flight or I'll never be heard from again.
And here, I believe, is where the struggle is, your internal struggle with this. The reason it came to your feeling of this is because ever since you were a little girl, your parents probably told you, don't ever get into a stranger's car.
Unless he charges you for it.
Well, they're...
That's a great point. It has been...
It's like ingrained in you, right?
Yeah, and especially as a female, there are other things that, you know, that women have to watch out for that in general men probably don't think about as much, like the parking situation. When I go to a party or a restaurant, I always think, what's the parking situation? I've always learned never park next to, like, if you happen to see, like, a van, right?
Absolutely.
Like a van with no windows. If you can avoid parking next to a full-size van with no windows, just these little steps you take every day. And so an Uber ride is inherently counterintuitive and counter to everything that I've ever learned regarding safety.
Right, but it's a great service for so many people that don't have a car. If you don't want to be adulting and get a car and pay insurance and maintenance and everything else that goes along with that, but that kind of goes along with nowadays, because human trafficking is in the headlines so much, when I see an unmarked van or box truck going down the highway, I'm thinking, what's in there? What's in there? I mean, and it's horrifying to think of, but when you hear a story where, you know, there was 19 women that were just left for dead in this van in the port of San Diego or wherever, it's like, oh my goodness, they could be driving right by you and you don't know
you
it.
You don't know it.
You don't know anything.
Yeah, you are putting a lot of trust in strangers. And as you mentioned, the trafficking issue, that's a whole other deal. But do you use Airbnbs? Because that's kind of that same idea. You're sharing an intimate space. A car is an intimate space. Your home is an intimate space. I have used Airbnb, but I've never... It's always been where I've had the entire unit, like an apartment or a home. I've never stayed in just a room.
Oh, I don't think I could do it. And they even have a couch surfing
thing. They do. And that's free. And they don't vet anyone.
Right. You can just say, hey, you can sleep on my couch. And there's an app for that, right?
And I have a friend who does that. She stayed all over the world. And she goes, you know, it's really a miracle that I haven't been murdered. I'm like, yes, it is. You don't know this guy. You're staying on his couch.
I did surprise my wife last Christmas for a January trip. The day we had 12 inches of snow in January, I took her to Phoenix. She had never seen the Southwest. So we had an Airbnb, our first experience. It was a great experience, but it just happened to be a normal house in a neighborhood. So that was a little weird to me, especially since I had an opportunity to rent this dome home in the desert or whatever. But it said, look out for the coyotes and look out for... I'm like, well, we'll just stay in a normal house.
Right.
Doing it, now I wish I would have done the weird experience, the unique home experience, the Airbnb that's an airplane that's turned into a home. We did an Airbnb at Innsbruck, which is an hour from, you know, where we live, hour and 15. Great experience. An A-frame treehouse, and might be a good gift, actually.
It is. I like Airbnb. It's a little risky. I used it in Boston this past year, and we put all our bags in the room. We left. We went to go get dinner. We come back, and there's four people in our room with their own bags, and we were double booked. And
what?
They had been in the room with our stuff, our laptops. But the situation was ultimately resolved. So I think Airbnb works, but you are kind of taking your life in your own hands.
Who got the place?
We moved to a different place.
Oh, and from the same renter?
From the same renter.
Oh, wow.
So it worked out okay.
Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Time's Person of the Year was announced, and it was environmental activist and founder of the School Strike for the Climate campaign, none other than Greta Thunberg.
What an inspiration she is.
Let's hear from that inspiration with the audio cut of the day, sponsored by the Good Feet Store, pain relief and comfort to fit any budget.
We will not let you get away with this. Right here, right now, is where we draw the line. The world is waking up. And change is coming whether you like it or not. You all come to us young people for hope. How dare you? You have stolen my dreams and my childhood with your empty words. You are still not mature enough to tell it like it is. You are failing us. But the young people are starting to understand your betrayal. The eyes of all future generations are upon you. And if you choose to fail us, I say we will never forgive you. People are suffering. People are dying. Entire ecosystems are collapsing. We are in the beginning of a mass extinction, and all you can talk about is money and fairy tales of eternal economic growth. How dare you?
Wow. You know, here's the thing. I knew when they were, you know, everybody was a week ago considering who's going to be the person, the Times Person of the Year. I knew it was going to be somebody that was offended in the world about something. You got to give it to her for being passionate.
I think even Al Gore is like, whoa, Greta, that's a little heavy-handed.
A little strong.
A little strong. Okay, all jokes aside, it really bothers me that her parents and whoever else is enabling this continues to encourage this campaign. She is a child who has had issues with depression, has stopped eating because she's so terrified about the world ending. The world is not going to end in 12 years. You can be incredibly passionate about climate change and not devolve into hysteria and to let a kid, I mean, listen to her voice shaking. She's so upset. You can feel that gasp from her chest tightening because she feels the pain and the urgency and the terror of the world ending. If you are a kid and you truly think the world is going to end in 10 years and no one's listening to you, that is the worst case of gaslighting and would make you lose your mind. So I feel sorry for her because it's as unpalatable as what she says and how it's delivered is, it bothers me that she's a child, and I do feel that she's living in a manufactured fear that the world is going to end in 12 years.
And you can, like you said, you can feel and hear the shaking in her voice.
The fear,
and you know, but there's a lot of people that are offended, and they carry all that weight on their shoulders, and they feel like they are the last person that's ever going to think of this. But I mean, this is time at work. I mean, let's talk about some of the people in the previous Time People of the Year. You challenged me, and I said, I said Trump. And
you do. Said, do you remember when Trump was Time Person of the Year?
2016.
You're right. Yeah. You get a little correct mark there. Check.
A correct mark.
Yeah. Last year, who was the Time Person of the Year?
Okay. Who else?
Last year was the Guardians, like the journalists, like Jamal Khashoggi, who was killed.
Yeah.
So do you remember the year before that?
I don't.
After Trump, the silence breakers of the Me Too movement. So you got Trump, the silence breakers, the Guardians, who are the journalists, and then this year's Greta Thunberg, People of the Year.
You also said you.
Oh, yeah, with the internet?
That was
you. Let's see. That was in 2006. Me. Yeah, because of the individual content creators. Well, Bo Matthews will be back tomorrow for Mark Reardon, filling in more content on KMOX starting at 2.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.